Hey guys, it's Halloween, and I need your advice. What should I dress up as this Halloween coming up?
David, football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Now that is a good question, Pierre Garçon. Let's dig into that right out of the gate. Then we'll move on to the Red Challenge flag picks. We have to pick the big games coming up in NFL Week 8. We'll do so with Matt Money Smith and Cindy Freeland, the two hosts of Free Money, we call it. Also, you can track it down. It's Game Theory and Money. You can find that on iTunes and or NFL.com/podcasts. And by the way, speaking of NFL podcasts and picking games, so on and so forth, make sure you check it out. Set the DVR now. Watch it live. Then go back and watch it again. And you can watch it four times overall over the weekend and every weekend during the NFL season all the way through the playoffs. NFL Pick'em on, guess where? NFL Network.
Hey.
You can track it down.
What are our times?
MVP. We have new times. They threw me a curveball.
Yes.
It's 8 a.m.
Right.
Saturday. It's 3 p.m. Saturday. It's 11 p.m. Saturday.
Oh.
And then
what
6 a.m. Sunday.
Who's that for?
That's for the night owls slash the early
West
birds.
West Coast and the early birds. Yeah, there we go. You got to check.
Night owls and early birds. That's kind of interesting that we have night owls and early birds. All right, let's answer Pierre Garçon's question right after we say hello to the aforementioned ones. Here she is all the way from the great state of Michigan. Mary Ann's favorite child. It's Cindy Freeland.
Thumb the right way.
Oh, yeah, you're
yes,
doing
it
the – that's enough. Okay. That's you were just doing the thing
where
that
I'm
Michigan
from.
People always
yeah,
do. They show you their
map.
Hand, and then
map.
They point to it. The UP.
I'm not from the UP. I'm from the middle. I'm from
– yeah,
do the mainlanders
this.
Of Michigan look down
Lopers.
Upon the UP?
No, we love our –
you
love
did.
Our,
they literally look up.
Who right. Yeah. Who lives out there? Well, how many – what percentage
well,
of
like,
the population
Mooch
is
from there?
There
and Tom Izzo's from
really?
There. There's some, like, really great Upers.
What
Taylor
city
Rashadi's
is there?
Mom is from there. Iron Mountain, Michigan is probably – and Tequamanon Falls is a wonderful location.
What are these words you're saying? That's there's not, like, a prominent
well,
town
it's not
there?
Like Michigan isn't an odd word, right? I mean, the state itself is kind
True.
Of an odd word.
True.
Michigan.
It's shaped like a mitten, though. We're, like, America's high five.
Right. Yeah, that's
a
good
guy.
Point.
I like that. I like that. Jimmy Kimmel, 15 years ago, declared Canada to be America's hat, which I thought was clever.
It's
now
a
you're
great name.
True.
Love America's yeah.
hat. I wonder then what that makes Florida when you look at that and it, where it's. Anyway,
I'll tell you exactly what it makes.
Let's say hello
right,
to the other
there.
Half of the Free Money Show, as well as one half of the finest radio show in all the land, buzzing about the Los Angeles Dodgers and Houston Astros right now on AM 570. If you're in Los Angeles, otherwise track it down on iHeartRadio. Here he is. Oh, he's also the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Too, yeah.
It's Matt Money Smith. What's the poop, fella?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait.
No, that's okay.
That's enough.
That's enough.
That's enough. We have a lot to get to here. Michael Fabiano may show up here.
He
may. The Fantasy Hall of Famer. You guys both work with him on the Fantasy Live program
sure.
on NFL Network. Money.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He is a Hall of Famer, yes. And so he may pop in here. He's been asking to come on the show the last couple weeks. So.
Oh, that's why he's coming on.
Well, no, I mean, I enjoy having Fabiano, but he has some stuff. He said the fantasy news expires pretty soon here. Let's say if we're going to ever have a fantasy conversation, we better jump into it right now. All right, so Garçon asks, what should he be for Halloween? Oh, one more thing. Go back and listen to the podcast from earlier this week. Ryan Shazier jumps in and shows you why he is a strong candidate for the Shecky Award for our favorite football playing guest. Todd Gurley was on the show. Mercedes Lewis sat down with Eddie Spaghetti for a hard-hitting interview in which they covered whether or not Mercedes Lewis lifts. And then Jeff Schwartz jumped in to talk some candy.
I'm sorry, they covered what?
Well, that's Spaghetti. You know, we like to check in with football players sometimes and verify whether or not they lift.
They're working out and lifting
and
weights.
Spaghetti, did it? What?
Throwing weight around?
You ask Mercedes Lewis, Maurice Jones-Drew's best pal from UCLA, if he lifts?
I can't take credit. That was your question. You recommended to me.
But what was his response?
He was like, yeah, of course yeah. I do. And I was like, yeah,
that's,
I figured.
More often than not, that's the answer I'm getting from football players. Is that yes, they do in fact lift.
They get slighted, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Jeff sorry, Schwartz. They get what?
He's like slighted. He doesn't realize
oh,
that
slighted.
I know.
I thought you used like some New York term for lifting weights.
They get slighted. You know what is a controversial subject is Matt Money Smith and Dave Damashek talking about New York sports fans.
I mean, I'm just waiting for it to happen.
Well, some people say it's
going
enough.
On today, Sheck?
Some people say too much. Some people say not enough.
I follow your lead, Sheck. If you want to get into it, they should have let Girardi go 2 years ago.
That bum played for the Cubs. I don't want him in our dugout to begin with. That one World Series in 100 years don't make him a winner. Get rid of him. Get Jeets in there.
Who do I want to replace Girardi? Two words. Danny Tartable.
All
right, that's it.
Money.
Yes.
Let's not make any declarations about what will and will not happen the rest of the way here. Money, in the meantime, what would you advise Pierre Garçon to be for Halloween?
Well, I don't mean to kick the can here, but is he going out with a child? And that's why, is he going to some like fancy club party?
Good question.
I need to know the context of Halloween
party. I have a
context-free
costume for him.
Okay.
Given his last name is the French word for boy,
ooh.
I think he should dress up as like a baby boy or a little boy and make it really ironic, right?
Garçon is boy? I always thought it was
garçon.
Waiter.
Garçon.
Garçon.
Well, you're calling them boy when you say that.
Garçon.
Well, I don't call anyone Garçon for the record except Pierre Garçon.
Right.
I'm not the only guy I've ever called
like,
Garçon
I'm
in my
fille,
life.
Like, I'm a fille. He's a garçon.
Oh, all right. Well, that's awfully
condescending
then.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I guess maybe Hollywood has led us astray. I always thought garçon was waiter. Un garçon.
Yeah.
You always see him like snap, garçon.
Hollywood has led you astray. Well, I mean, it's just like you different words for calling someone.
Yeah, that makes sense. Here's my thought. I told this, as a matter of fact, to Todd Gurley yesterday, and now I'll tell it to Pierre Garçon and anyone else who wants a fun little outfit. First of all, I'm a curmudgeon when it comes to Halloween. My kids love it.
Why wouldn't they? It's free candy.
Right.
It's fantastic.
And I wonder if you could take a poll, like Family Feud style, and poll 100 kids. If you said, what's the best holiday? I think it would, I mean, in my, as a grown up, I mean, I love Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Secular Christmas is going to win out. All around for
do
the children
so?
Because of the gifts.
I don't know. Kids love the costumes and candy. That's a pretty good.
Some kids like Easter too.
How about this? Is it a leading question, or do they have to come up with the holiday off the top of their head?
I think you do Family Feud style.
Okay, so they just got to answer it. Ooh, see, I think that's where Halloween maybe runs. You know, doesn't quite get the benefit that it should. I think if you said favorite holiday, Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween, that might get them to Halloween. Like, ooh, I forgot about all
the candy
and the costumes.
Well, Memorial Day is great because it means the end of school.
No, 4th of July goes Thanksgiving, then 4th of July. 1, 2.
No. Yes. July 4th is worse than Memorial Day because if you're a kid, you're like, we're already a month into this thing. We got to go back to school this quick. Oh, man, it's going too fast. Memorial Day.
But there's sparklers and s'mores.
Nothing but green in front of me. No teachers. Yeah.
Thanksgiving's number one for adults. And
for
it's
sure.
not even close.
I agree with that.
It's eating and it's football.
Eating.
You know, you say that, but there is a large and probably growing percentage of grown-ups who love the Halloween and they love the costumes. And I'm a curmudgeon with this because annually
no
I get
off.
Invited. Let's go out. It'd be so fun. Oh, Dave, why are you so uptight? Why don't you want to wear a costume? Listen, I don't like getting dolled up because then it makes me self-aware when I walk into the room and
dolled
I can feel
up.
Everybody.
Wait a minute. Dolled up? What kind of costumes are you usually
everybody
wearing?
Looks over at you and evaluates you, and then you're stuck in that costume for the rest of the night, and then is it hot? And like the people with the masks? I don't like
you
a mask.
You
as
are
a
doing
rule.
The costumes entirely the wrong way. Like my senior year of college, I don't think we can ever top this. There was an old show on Nickelodeon. It's called Double Dare. I don't know.
Sure, I remember Double Dare.
Right?
Sure.
Double
Slime,
Dare.
Right?
And we had six roommates, and there were three on the red team and three on the blue team. We dressed up in the entire thing, and we had physical challenges in the bar all night. It was amazing. That was a good one.
Listen, here, if I may.
BC! Look out, everybody!
Yeah, Marianne.
I'll tell you what I'm going as for Halloween. I'm going to put on the pinstripes. and a sign that says, "We'll work for food." I'm Girardi because I just got blown out.
Hey, tell me what I am. I'm putting on the pinstripes. I'm putting on a Yanks cap and a number 2 on my back. What am I? I'm the champion of champions. That's who I am, you dummy. Get out of my face.
What do you mean you don't know who Anthony Mason is? I'm here. I'm Anthony Mason. I'm honoring his memory.
I say this to Garcon. So this is what I told Gurley, and he rejected it. Maybe Garcon wants
it. Oh, they'd be, what if they went out together? He could be the Gurley, could be the boy. Garcon
Whoa.
And Gurley.
Oh, well done. See, they flip roles. Oh, how about that, Cindy?
Now we're
well
cooking
done.
With gas. Look how pleased Cindy is with herself.
Well done.
I'm not very funny.
She
so.
Deserves that shoulder shake that she just gave herself for her little reward.
You think anyone's ever suggested he be Marcel Marceau? Because he is Pierre Garcon. I don't know if he'd be.
That's probably
that,
your winner. Here's a good one that anybody can try. You go out, you get an eye patch,
okay.
And you put it on just the one eye. And on front of that eye patch, you tape or paste a picture of a rooster. And then what are you? You're cockeyed.
That's
right?
Clever. That's a conversation starter is what it is.
That's right. And then you don't have a cumbersome outfit that you have to wear. You dress as you want to dress.
Any single men who are listening, do not do that.
Why?
That's just weird. I would not.
That is a breezy costume that's not obtrusive.
Nope.
All right, so you have one eye covered, and otherwise you get to wear what you want to wear. You're nice and comfortable. Everybody else is looking like a goon in their outfits. You have just a nice little eye patch to contend with the rest of the night.
You know, I'll say this.
Thank you for that. MVP! That's a good one.
Emma, want to weigh in here?
I don't like that one
you
at all.
Like it.
It's gross.
Why not?
It's weird, and I wish you hadn't said it yesterday.
I don't understand what happened. I think we should go back to the time when MVP would refuse to talk on the show.
It's still pretty close to that.
Just being
I love MVP so much.
I have just two quick observations. One, why you're wrong on Halloween being remotely close to Thanksgiving, because you don't get the day off and you have to go to work.
Correct.
The next day. Thanksgiving, you get to sleep
on
that Friday.
Well, it's not a thing
weekend.
For me, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like in terms of the showdown between Thanksgiving and Halloween for the adults as to what is the best. Two, there was a time, there was this sweet spot in the world where Halloween simply meant going to a party as a young adult where there would be a certain segment of society that would try to outdo each other by wearing as little clothing as possible. And that was their costume. It was...
You talk about that as though that ended somewhere.
No, it didn't end. We live in L.A. Ugh,
I feel like, it is still as prevalent as it
once
was.
I don't know. I don't go to Halloween parties,
what I mean.
So I don't know.
That was, what is your costume? Whatever it was.
Sexy bunny.
Sexy in front of it. Nurse, sexy right. Nurse. Sexy bunny. Sexy right. Construction worker.
Right. Sexy stormtrooper.
That was not my bag ever. Mine was like Double Dare or like something. You know in Mean Girls when Lindsay Lohan comes out and she's like this scary ex.
Sexy bag lady. I thought that's what you were just saying, yeah.
Sexy homeless woman.
All right. I want to talk about, so I hope that helps you there,
Stop
Garcon.
Trying to make fetch happen, Cynthia.
Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Now listen, let's talk about the other issue related to Halloween. We jumped in on it with Jeff Schwartz, and I've stumbled into something I feel is fascinating. Tootsie Rolls are not properly chocolate flavored. They are the Dr. Pepper of the candy world. They're their own flavor.
Correct.
Right?
Yes, that's what makes them so delicious and wonderful. There's nothing
you
else.
You love
like
a Tootsie.
Love a good Tootsie.
Do you have any issues with their, you know, so they make their thing. Like Dr. Pepper has Dr. Pepper as its own flavor. Then they move into the vanilla, the cherry vanilla field.
Right.
You know? Well, now you've created a flavor for your flavor, which is weird. In the same way, like, why do they get into – and I, by the way, I love their vanillas. You know, the
Isn't
vanilla –
Isn't that wild? It doesn't taste like any other vanilla.
No.
There aren't that many vanilla treats.
It is strange. It has a Tootsie Roll taste to it.
The oranges are very good. The cherries are very good.
No orange. Ugh.
And yet I resent –
No cherry. Ugh.
I resent – well, the ones that I can't sell. Well, you don't need lemon and lime. That's my rule. Go forward, candy manufacturers, with this advice. You don't need lemon and lime. Starburst taught all of us that about 40 years
ago. Just lemon.
I mean, I don't like lime personally. It gives me bad nostalgia with tequila. You know,
I think we all have that.
When you taste anything with lime,
tequila.
I feel like, oh, that reminds me of the, you know, whatever time. You know?
I like tequila.
Oh. I do too.
I went to like a fancy tequila tasting.
All right.
I went to like a tequila tasting. Totally changed my – like it's not the tequila you took shots on in college. It's like Reposado and Añejo. Like yeah. There's like tequila snobs it's and they're
a,
amazing.
It's a sipping liquor. You know, if you get the right kind of you don't tequila, get a hangover. It's a sipping liquor.
You don't get a hangover. Tequila and water, don't put anything in it. Tequila, water,
probably,
lime.
Listen to the
sexy bag lady talk about tequila, high-end tequilas.
I think we can put that to a test. I think we very
okay,
well could
try
put
it.
The you
Dave,
don't get a hangover.
Dave, we're
going to
use you as our guinea pig. And that can be your Halloween costume. No. Tequila tasting guinea pig. And we can just take you around in a little guinea pig outfit and give
you a friend Brett, when you know when you get don't have to go to school the next day or like all the seniors cut the next day and the night before, the entire class or a lot of people
ditch day action.
Went out. And I remember my friend Brett drank too many tequilas that night.
Oh, Brett got wild.
And it spooked me off of tequila for a lifetime because things came out of the wrong places. Yeah. That's all I got to tell you about that. It was not good what happened there.
I think we, for whatever
it haunts, it there. Haunts me forever. It will
leave that there.
All I'll tell you is this. There was a night, then dawn broke, and it was like, let's get out of here. Let's get out of this cabin off in the woods where we all were. And where's Brett? It's time to go. Me and Richie were looking for Brett to get back in the car to head home. Couldn't find him, and we found him. We spotted him waiting in a nearby stream. Just like half.
He wanted to go for a swim.
Just waiting out there with it, with clothes in.
You know what
in
he was
arm.
Doing out there? He was dancing with death. He and Death were having a little dance in that stream, and you thankfully broke up that dance. You interrupted, and you saved him.
One more thing about Halloween. Scary movies. Let's weigh in on those.
Love them.
You do.
Love them.
Here's the thing about scary movies to me. Don't you have enough torment between your own ears? Doesn't the world at large spook you enough that you don't need to impose additional nightmare fuel?
I think.
Why would you do that? What is this thing of, I like riding a coaster because it gives me that
sure.
pit in my back. I laugh.
That's what
a
scary movie does.
No, scary movies plague your dreams. They
depends on the
when
type.
You open doors and you're home alone. You remember.
Right?
What's good about that? Why do you want to?
There is something about sitting in darkness and having that feeling in your chest and in your stomach and that feeling of dread and anticipation of what's going
to
happen.
Like
I
the
love
dread
it.
And anticipation ones. I don't like the ones like Saw was too much. Like it was just too gory.
That's
like,
just
there's
gore,
a line.
Right.
Like I don't
Saw,
like.
See, but I thought Saw was pretty clever.
Well,
like
they
it,
get
was,
gory.
It was. It,
there's
yes,
like a million
it definitely
of them.
Is. They can do
the
things today with special effects that they used to not. I do like the classic films much more
right.
than present day because
even if they're
visually
horrible,
they can do things that they couldn't do back.
The Shining is a great movie. It's a great. It's a like. It's,
that's like a psychological one. Like the.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's a
the gold
you know,
standard.
The look of the Kubrick picture, Nicholson in it,
a man losing his mind.
The tone, yeah, the tone affected in the. That's the movie to watch for Halloween. I love people. I know that Stephen King doesn't like that picture, and he has. I've read a number of reasons why he doesn't like it. But first of all, the look, the best filmmaker. I'm pretentious. I don't know anything about making movies, but I nevertheless love when the kid's riding the big wheel around the joint.
Terrifying.
Oh,
but it's also. I don't mean that he even rides into the twin girls all bloody and all that kind of stuff. When he's riding around that floor and it's going from wood floor, whatever, to carpet, to bat, that spectacular and unlike anything. Yeah.
There are many fine films, not just scary, but fine films in the horror genre.
Yes,
that's the
Shining
thing. It's a cheap trick.
They're not
cheap. There's so many bad movies.
The Birds scares the heck out of you. It's
all right,
brilliant.
But I'm talking more about, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer. That movie can certainly scare me.
I mean, that's like, I mean, it, okay, so it, it
it's like hiding behind the corner and jumping out and saying boo kind of can
so
scare
it's
me.
It's a bad horror film. I'm talking about the greats. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a masterpiece.
Oh,
I mean,
stop.
It is a film. Absolutely. My gosh, it scares the bejesus out of you.
I agree, and I don't
so
want
that.
What do I want to be scared for? I don't need to be scared.
Jack, you're supposed to emote. You know, a film's supposed to move you. It's supposed to take you from the dregs of daily life and make you feel
bring
a little
out
different.
All, bring out all the other rainbow.
My neighbors
emotions.
Are trying to, like, evoke the scary clown stuff. They have a bonfire pit in their front yard, see, and they put these, like, terrifying mean clowns in different locations every day.
Now, the whole
and
Pennywise thing's getting a lot of control.
They change their locations, though. Like, they have a bonfire every day. One will be, like, in the middle of the fire pit and then sitting around the side, and they're, like, the other time it's, like, up above you. And every time I walk out of the house, I'm like, this is not.
Hey, live a little,
okay.
Huh? Get the heart pumping,
Shaq. You are terrifying.
Come on.
No, thank you. No. Listen, I have enough trouble sleeping already. I wake up in the middle of the night with panic at 3:14 a.m. What do I need that additional?
As Mike Tyson would say, you're a scared coward.
Well, that I will wear. I don't hide from that fact. That much we all know.
It's a
all
film. Right. It's just a film.
Film.
You can't. Film. I mean, come on. Ground yourself in reality
when you walk
back out of the theater. I want
films to distract. Films should distract me from the misery of my real existence. They shouldn't add to it.
No, this tells you. You think you have it bad? Look at this poor Sam on the screen. Now get back to your life. You're good. Everything's
that's
fine.
That's why I watch The Bachelor. That's why I watch
See,
The Bachelorette.
It's because it's like a horror film.
I watch 20 guys try to pick up a woman, and I say, wow, I have always considered myself a loser. At least I'm not as big a loser as those guys are, if that's the cheese that they roll with. You know?
You know who should be on The Bachelor? Me. That's who. I'd be a great contestant.
Tell you who's got the free time to be on The Bachelorette. Girardi, the bum. All right. Let's talk college football.
Let's
pick
it.
The biggest three of the week. Ryan Shazier joined us. He stunned me by picking the Ohio State Buckeyes to emerge victorious
who would have
at
guessed?
Home.
Who would have guessed?
Against the Knits. And let's start there. Money, well, go ahead.
I'm with Shazier.
I am too.
Remember last year when Penn State beat Ohio State? Ohio State was coming off an overtime game that was a late kickoff against Wisconsin. It was a physical battle. They were beat to heck, and it was a fluky game. Now, look, this Penn State team's a lot better than that Penn State team was last year. They haven't really faced an offense yet, though. You know, like a dominant. And JT Barrett, after he threw that interception against Oklahoma and that thing got away from it, everyone's talking about how bad he is. He's been a lot better. He's taking care of the football. They're throwing the ball around. This is a legit offense.
I think that's fair.
They've
right.
got to slow down.
I think that that's fair. And I also think that it's the product of being in an actual tough conference. This is the thing that SEC people will always point to. The fact of the matter is, though, top to bottom, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, is the Big Ten actually has more depth this year than the SEC? It did last year. The ACC, I think
Ohio
this mix
State,
of teams,
Wisconsin.
Georgia and Bama distract from the rest of,
right.
Which isn't to say that.
LSU's not terrible. Auburn's good. Texas A&M is good.
LSU is
Florida's
fine.
Pretty good. You know, I think it's what do you think, what do we really think Michigan State and Wisconsin are?
I think Michigan State's good.
Wisconsin's very good, I think. Like, I think Michigan State's good. I think Wisconsin's
and it's just
better
so
than
hard
that.
To predict Wisconsin because that side of the Big Ten is so
bad. All right. Maybe not in terms of are they top 20 worthy or whatever, but when you don't have – you know, when even my Indiana Hoosiers can
they're
give
solid.
You a challenge.
Yeah
when
solid.
They can, you know, in seasons like those, in eras like those, and there's no week off week after week, and
no
you're depending
produce
on 20-year-old kids. I mean, the Iowa game, that was a letdown game, and they, you know, they were one pass away last play of the game from losing in Iowa, and then we're not having the conversation about big bad Penn State right now. Now they're going into the horseshoe. I'm with you. I think Ohio State wins this one. Cindy?
I'm with you in Ohio State. Saquon Barkley, though. I think he's going to have a great game. But, I mean, he had 100 yards in, like, 8 minutes.
That'll be interesting because he's, you know, your Hoosiers bottled him up. Iowa – Iowa had the crazy game against the 200 yards
right.
rushing, but Northwestern loaded the box and bottled them up. And, you know, Ohio State's better defensively than either of those squads. I mean, they got a ton of talent up front, so it'll be interesting to see
he's
if really
he's going
to
get loose.
He's
really talented, though, even if he doesn't have a
200-yard
rushing
game. Well, I think that's an interesting subject because people – something money, you're up there in the Chargers booth every week, and I wonder you certainly hear it in national broadcasts. Whoever – is in front of the broadcasters, of lazy broadcasters at least, and so I would say three-quarters of the analysts out there up in the booth. Whoever they're looking at, they get into the hyperbole of, this is the finest running back in the game today. This is the most talented quarterback in the game today. Like, until next week when you're looking at somebody else, you'll be like, this young man is the most talented running back in the nation. I told Todd Gurley that, to pat myself on the back primarily. I said when he was a sophomore at Georgia, this is the guy. This is the one. He's the running back of the generation. He looked pretty good at this point in year three. That's starting to pay off. Saquon Barkley, though.
He's great.
This is the one. Oh, this is the guy. Giants need to get this guy in the draft next. Forget quarterback. This is the guy. Oh, he's the one.
He'll be a top 10 pick.
Fine. When it's all said and done, is he better than Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson? Is he going to be Zeke Elliott?
He's in that conversation.
3 years from now, he's the best. He's right up there with the best in the game.
I believe so.
Cindy?
I agree.
Yeah, he can catch the hell out of the ball.
It's the pass catching upside. Yeah, that's what really makes the difference in all the guys that
Zeke
talked about.
He's a full-on three-down big back that will bust your butt through the tackles but can also really have an impact in the passing game.
Look who's joining us here. It is the Hall of Famer.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
Hoffer.
NFL Hoffer. Fantasy Live. You read his pages, take his advice. It's always sage.
Here he is on Twitter.
He's a Yankees fan. He's a North Carolina basketball fan.
That's right. He's a Yankees fan. We were talking about who we should hire. We were just talking about it before he came into the studio.
I guess you should also, based on the fact that you're a front runner from the early 90s,
early 80s.
Oh, all right. I was going to say then you have to be a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. I guess that makes you a New York Islanders fan.
I don't follow hockey.
I know, but if you
When the Whalers left the mall in Connecticut, that was the end for me.
Hartford. I wish I could see that place. Everybody always talks about it was in a mall. I can't conjure what that must have looked like.
I can't imagine that either.
It was in a mall.
I guess that's kind of like what in Vegas when the fights are attached on the back. I never can see where the fights actually take place, even though I've been in those resorts.
That is weird.
In
the MGM, it's like
do they find 40,000 seats laying around to put up in that? I don't see it physically in the space there. Anyway, Michael Fabiano, what's the poop with you, fella?
Oh, man, just grinding along with Matt Money Smith here. No, I'm good.
Oh, God, you sound hoarse.
No,
who you been yelling at?
I've just been talking for the last hour and a half. I just did a segment with The Miz from WWE, and we scream at each other. So that's probably why the voice is a little hoarse right now.
Fabs, I've noticed that you've had some challenges thrown at you on social media over the last few
years. Yeah, Fabs has been getting loose.
But Fabs tangles, and I defend him. I say, God, you leave Fabs alone.
I do. Oh, you do.
I rise to his defense.
Yes.
I won't stand for these senseless attacks.
I'm just
Fabiano.
An observer. I like to observe. If I did anything, I would just.
I enjoy.
It up even more.
No, I know you would.
I
know you
enjoy
would.
The. Yes.
Oh, I love a Twitter feud.
You know my rule. I love all head-to-head conflicts as long as I'm not one of the heads. I like to be a witness to all conflicts.
So basically,
that's my favorite.
You're talking about the whole Matthew Berry. Evans situation, right, from a few weeks ago?
Yeah, but you know.
You versus the Killer Bees, Barry and Brad. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what happened was tweeted that Jim Nantz was changing his tune on fantasy football because he had said something on a broadcast about picking up Aaron Jones. And Jim loves fantasy football. Like, I've known Jim for 15 years. I've played in leagues with him for 15 years. And so Matthew having a million followers and Jim not being on social media and probably not caring what he says anyways, but I will go to the defense.
There. You hear that?
But I will go to the defense of my friend, just like I would do for you or for you.
Not for me.
Not for you.
That's okay.
But I would do that for anybody. And I basically said, hey, man, I don't really believe this. You know, where's this audio? Jim loves fantasy football.
You called for proof.
Wait a second.
He called for proof. Where's the audio?
I want to know where this is. So Matthew got a little kind of snotty with me and said, why would I waste 1 second of my time finding the audio? I don't care if you believe me or not. So then Brad Evans,
off the top rope,
just comes off with the big elbow,
killer elbow.
The Macho Man,
yeah,
and starts nailing me. And Evans has no real place in this conversation. This is between me and Matthew. And so he starts taking over, and then Barry really clams up. He doesn't really say anything, and he lets Brad do his dirty work. I don't know. That was the whole Twitter thing.
By the way, what about the fact that did you see that sack on that Ingram put on Simmons?
Well, I thought he killed him.
You saw it. I mean, that was.
And by the way, I know I'm the radio voice of the Bolts, and maybe I'm biased. That was not a flag. That is like the now I get, and especially sitting next to a former player,
oh,
in Nick Hardwick.
It shouldn't have
he's
been
like,
a flag.
First of all, sure. He led with his shoulder. Simeon's bracing for the contact, and as he does that, he crouches into position, and as he crouched his head,
right.
That's what led to the helmet-to-helmet.
I'm 100% with anything that attempts to reduce head trauma. And I mean, obviously.
Now, at
what
the
a
same
hero,
time.
What a hero I am. At the, yes.
At the same
it
time,
it is impossible.
Though?
When a human being turns and sees
braces
a guy bearing down on him. Every human being shrinks a little bit, moves their body a little bit, but it's not the exact same movement. Ergo, it's impossible if you're running at a 4 or 5, the equivalent of a 4 or 5 40, directly at somebody. You're not going to be able to modify where you're launching yourself in a 1/100th of a second.
Like,
so facto, not a flag.
But I appreciate this. I appreciate the point, but I don't know how you resolve that. It will never be resolved.
I don't know if the TV picked it up, but on our crowd mics, and that's one of the great things about StubHub Center is it's so small,
you can hear
so much more. The very next offensive series, Rivers goes up to John Hussey, the referee, and says, "Hey, man, I think you missed it there on that flag." And he said, "Maybe. But if you got hit like that, I'd throw the flag for you as well." And Rivers just goes, okay. And he walked back to the huddle. It was
That's great. I'm happy to see, for money's sake, since he's going to be at the games win, lose, or draw, I'm happy to see the Chargers winning so it's a more enjoyable view.
I'm so jealous of you on Thanksgiving.
Cowboys.
Cowboys
Thanksgiving
Bolts,
Day.
Man.
Yeah,
that's going to be awesome.
Cowboys Thanksgiving Day.
And you know what? The Cowboys will probably wear the old school jerseys with the stars.
They're
on
wearing all white,
and if
the Chargers
Bolts
are wearing
powder blue.
They are.
That might be one of the best uniform matchups ever.
Because they don't wear the right throwback.
Dave,
it's a new throwback.
It's not a throwback.
Now, you know what? I will say this though: it may not be that powder blue because it's a Thursday and it's their only Thursday, so it may be their color rush. So you may end up getting nice.
The color rush.
It's my favorite blue of the Chargers. It's the royal blue of the late 70s, early 80s. It's what their color rush tone is.
Yeah. I agree with that. Awesome. All right, real quick before we jump in on the red challenge flag picks proper. The Chargers, I said this on the earlier podcast this week, and I'll say it again to you guys now. I feel like this is a massive game for the rest of the season for the other 31 teams not named Patriots. If the Patriots whip the Chargers in the same manner they just took care of the Falcons, and it's not to say that the Falcons are in the same place as the Chargers and that the Falcons aren't having their difficulties and so on, but if they deliver a similar whipping this week, I think it breaks the spirit of the NFL. Now, no one would ever concede that, and I understand that football players are imbued with a different level of self-confidence than I am, but still, you'll have to know that there's a ceiling on what you can do. If the Patriots are on that kind of a roll again...
Because you thought there were cracks, right? You're like, this is the year. It was just a hiccup there.
I also think, though, that... You know, listen, we've talked about it forever, and like most successful or failing NFL quarterbacks, no one likes pressure. No one likes it coming right up the gut like that, and the Chargers can deliver both of those things. And Brady, we have seen him struggle in that circumstance. Most recently, I guess you would say, we saw him really crumble under the pressure in Denver in the AFC title game. I know he threw the last-minute touchdown pass to Gronkowski, but still, he struggled throughout that day.
Justin Houston was all over
week
one.
Yeah, that's true, too. He doesn't like it, and he doesn't play well when that's happening to him. And I guess it's kind of a knock because there are guys who can succeed in spite of the pressure, but Brady is not one of those guys necessarily, although he is awfully nifty with those subtle little slides he does. What he does is he is lucid in the pocket in a way that nobody else is. He slides... If there's an opening in the pocket, he jumps into that empty space. Watch him work. That's what he does the whole time. He avoids the pressure before it exists. He jumps into those empty spaces and generally gets rid of it. That said, if you can heat him up, he becomes very mortal. Who's going to win that game? Let's start with our guest here, Michael Fabiano.
Whew.
And we'll do it red challenge flag style, even though we don't have the picks up.
Oh.
You know, I hate to say it because the voice.
I do not pick
money
when the Chargers
right
play.
Here.
I don't pick when the Chargers
play. He picks Chargers by two touchdowns.
I've got to take the Patriots.
Bang! I say Ingram and Bosa go and get him. Wow. Just because I want to see it happen, and yeah. I like how they're playing.
Just because I want to see it happen.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to be
it's
honest
a strategy.
With you. Do I? I don't know when I'm ever going to pick a team because I actually think it's going to happen. A team going into Foxborough. I just don't know when that's. Well,
it happened twice now this year. Kansas City went in there and won. Carolina went in there and won.
I know, but I'm not going to make that pick here. Cindy,
I have a high scoring game, but I have New England coming out on top, 30-24.
Okay. Oh, my final score for that one.
Sounds good for fantasy purposes.
That's a great observation.
All defensive fantasy. Touchdowns, Fabs.
Oh, is that right?
I go Chargers 30-28 in that one, and Bosa and Ingram combined for 7 sacks on
Ooh.
That one. All right, let's get to it then, shall we? Oh, in honor of the upcoming holiday, Emma VP is ready with her television guide type descriptions. This day, this week, we're focusing on horror movies. Perfect.
Ooh, now
let's
we're
get
talking,
to it.
MMA
the Red
Red
Challenge flag picks.
Love it.
My sweet spot. Here we go.
Red Challenge flag picks.
Hey.
Another one.
Hey.
Go wash the clubs. I did that one for Fabs.
Thanks, pal.
Wash the clubs.
All right, Fabs. I want to add something to that. Not you. I was just saying that as a line because everybody has to say something in the song.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right.
You didn't even sing there, Fabby.
I did.
You did?
At the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to it then, Emma VP. Start us off with – oh, and by the way, I want to give everybody a shout-out who does these because the artwork that you see on NFL Pick'em and beyond is really grand stuff, these fun little animations
awesome.
That they do. These little
they do such a good job.
They're
it's
really
amazing.
Neat. It's
cool.
Cam Newton v. Jameis Winston, both dressed up like the respective mascots there. Let's talk about the Panthers. And the Buccaneers, two former first overall picks, two Heisman winners, both struggling a wee bit. Cindy Freeland, Panthers.
Wait.
Oh, what am I doing?
Yeah, we got Emma.
I get all caught up. I got a lot of weight on my shoulders.
It's
you don't know.
You're a scared coward, and you don't want to hear the horror film synopsis. That's why.
Scared coward.
You're a scared coward.
All right. Emma VP, take it away.
All right.
Ooh, spooky.
We have an airing of The Silence of the Cam.
Yes.
A big show-off. Cam Newton drops back into an old abandoned backfield, but when he calls to McCaffrey and Benjamin to no answer, the eerie silence is soon filled by pounding footsteps growing ever closer. The Bucs offense gathers for a pregame ritual, swaying back and forth in a circle as their leader, Jameis, chants to channel the spirit of their departed Super Bowl 37 ancestors.
I mean, come on.
Emma VP. Well,
come on, Emma VP.
Oh,
and
spectacular.
Spooky music, by the way. Amazing.
Go on Snapchat, right, Emma VP? A new platform for Emma's TV
Ooh,
guide.
On Saturday,
upcoming.
It's going to be on the Snapchat.
Everybody watch Ooh. It. Put up a big number. Everyone within the sound of my voice, watch it so that becomes a weekly item on Snapchat from NFL.
Love it.
Emma VP's TV guide things. I'm a, you know, I'm a man of justice, so I believe in merit emerging. You know,
who's choosing here?
We have to talk about at some point, speaking of which, money, at a later date. Let's, because you're a media guy, I would like to talk about the big cat PFT ESPN business.
What?
It
you
is,
don't wanna, wait, wait, wait.
It is odd,
wanna,
right?
You don't want to talk to me about it? Okay.
He's a media guy, you know? He studies that
Ask
stuff.
Ask Cynthia about it.
What am I?
You sit around
liver.
And study those
That's
kind of things?
That's what you are. Get used
I'm,
to it.
I'm an award-winning listener, and I'm a former ESPN employee.
Ooh.
Well, that does
Ooh,
make sense.
There you go.
Listen, check.
She
Let's get something straight. On this side of the desk, friends with Jimmy, answers his call. Award-winning broadcaster. The two of
no,
us.
No, no, no. I'm an award-winning listener.
Bums. Bums,
award-winning
and
bums who
listener.
Are waiting for conflict to emerge
That's
between
it.
Others.
I'll tell you who else is a bum. Girardi. Thank God they fired
Good riddance. Now we can get back to winning crowds.
I'd rather have Reggie Barfield set my lineup.
Oh, man.
Ready?
Who's
Carolina
doing it?
Carolina Panthers.
Who's
Tampa
doing it?
Bay Buccaneers. Cindy Freeland. Choose.
Tampa Bay Bucks.
Whoa. Wait,
Sorry.
I forget who I even took
a bad throw.
I got it.
Sorry.
Nice
that.
Shot, Money.
That was terrible.
Nice shot, buddy.
I was trying to go.
Yeah, sure you were.
Listen, as long as we have my laptop, we're good.
Yeah.
MVP. I have the Carolina Panthers, so bang, I throw the red.
You didn't remember.
I couldn't remember who
you
I picked
there. You need to take omega-3s.
No, I listen. I just had this. It's not that I didn't remember I had the Panthers. I didn't remember the final score. 29-23.
But there's no final score up there yet. You could have remembered it.
I needed to pick the – I like to do – I'm one-stop shopping.
I'm going
to pick
Gogo
the games.
Loba.
I'm telling you everything.
You're not throwing it, Fabs?
Cam Newton
no,
has
I'm
a big
going
game.
With the
You're going
Buccaneers.
All right, let's hear it.
Based on – after his most recent controversy before this week's for Cam Newton, he went out there up to Detroit, had a huge game. I say he does that again. One rushing touchdown, two passing touchdowns for Superman. There.
Next
Cindy
question.
Freeland, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not with you on that one. I know Tampa Bay's defense has not looked great in every single game, but I have Cam Newton with some potential turnover issues going on here. I think Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston gets it done at home.
Fabs, mm-hmm. from a fantasy perspective, what level of I hesitate to say bust, and you do that whole counting catches business,
mm-hmm.
PPR.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. That's not for
why?
Me.
Why?
Oh, I love
that's
it.
That's a different question, but whatever.
Why? Why is that a good thing to add? I don't understand. Why you guys all three
love
advocate
it.
For PPR?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Doesn't that skew the value of guys who like
who are better at
Zeke
a certain,
Elliott?
At a certain aspect of playing football?
Right, that's
offense?
You just said it.
That's
it's
good.
A certain aspect. Listen, so you're
right.
you're
they're good
you're
at
overly...
catching the football is important in the NFL.
All right, so is touching the but getting 25 carries and
it
going
more,
for over 100. That
it
also
makes more
is
people
important.
Good. So for example,
right. that's
like,
exactly
but,
what
but
it
then
does.
That makes it more fun because then you're actually competing on like something that reflects true football
like,
value as opposed to being like the total
like
yards.
Christian McCaffrey if
that's
it
what
was
I was just
going
to say how big a bust
scoring,
is he? That's what I was just going to get to.
He would not be startable, but in PPR, he's tremendous because you bring in his skill set. Which
wow.
is catching passes.
That's the same lot. But Cindy, you just gave the same logic about why it's good to have as many playoff teams as you can possibly get into your postseason tournament. Because it's good. It allows for more people in there. That's more fun.
That's actually
not
a little
to me.
Different.
I like gold. Why do I like gold? Because gold is rare. Yeah. And I want to find those pieces of gold. And that's what's going to make me
but
a winner.
But you can find those pieces of gold in PPR.
If I can just get a whole bunch of people catch passes.
Let's put it in a check.
Shane for Green is
let's,
the best.
No, he's not even
let's
that
put
good
it
in PPR
let's put it in a
season.
Check contest. Is Stephon Diggs as good a receiver as Antonio Brown? Is he?
Woo!
Let's say is he half? Is he three quarters of the receiver of it? No, but
no,
because he gets these long passes. He'll get one or two catches that go for a long distance, and next thing you know, if it's a standard league, he and Antonio are dead even. But because Antonio is involved in so many plays, and he's got to take all those extra hits, and he gets 12 targets and eight
Don't
receptions
talk
a game,
to me like I'm
now
nine.
All of a sudden Antonio Brown is a true number one.
What
elite
a condescending
receiver.
Creep! He condescend. Oh, like I'm a 9-year-old. Oh, bring up the Steelers and why it would be bad for a guy on the Steelers.
That's not what I was doing.
Do
I was talking. Talking about the best receiver in the game.
Look
and
at
how
Le'Veon
he can separate.
Bell. Le'Veon
yeah,
Bell's
Le'Veon
tremendous
Bell.
In standard in PPR. I mean, this guy is unreal. He's unreal.
I think both those guys are still the guys you want in fantasy, whether or not you're.
But why
giving
should
extra
they not be rewarded for catching passes? Not everybody in the NFL can catch passes.
Ike Taylor,
right?
That's a shot at you.
Oh.
Another Twitter feud emerging now.
I mean, Amari Cooper, you know, struggled early this season and had that big game last week, dropping passes.
All right. So that's that game. We didn't really analyze that one. Do we want to jump in?
Tampa's
on
defense is garbage.
Bad. You know,
it's
been
bad. Whoa.
I know they moved
Vernon
Hargraves inside.
To nickel, and that did make a difference. So that's one area. They also have a good linebacker against the run.
They still lost.
Levante David. I know, but you got to look
And that
for
was a bad loss, darn it. That was a brutal loss.
And you want
it wasn't
you
a good loss.
A fantasy spin on that, too.
I guess no losses are
Four
good.
Of the last five quarterbacks who have played Tampa Bay have gone over 20 points. I mean, that, to me.
Great note.
That, to me, makes Cam Newton a virtual must-start unless you've got somebody like Carson Wentz on your roster or Dak Prescott.
I hear you. By the way, the what do you call that waiver? Money always does that. The streaming defenses
yes.
thing. If you stream quarterbacks, Andy Dalton is the guy.
Yes,
good
yeah.
one.
Yes. Very good. Very
I
good.
I like that one.
I tried to get
Tyrod Taylor also. Another
yep.
another
is
week.
Is that right?
Streamable.
All right. Maybe I'll try to jump on that because Andy Dalton let me down. I didn't get him. I put in a bid for him. All right. Next game then, MVP. Let's move on to. What are you doing? Oh, you need your flag
need the
back.
Flag, man.
Oh, it's already running red in Studio 66.
All right.
That's the action I like. All right, let's get to
Texans.
The Texans. All right, I'll get to it, MVP.
Okay.
Texans. Seahawks.
Oh, look at
Take
this.
It away, Emma.
Look at this.
Okay. We have an airing of the Blair Walsh Project. Consumed by the maddening yells of the clink, Deshaun Watson runs through a dark tunnel only to get himself trapped for 3+ hours surrounded by 70,000 hungry creatures. Blair Walsh's purple and gold demons come back from 2015 to haunt him ahead of another do-or-die moment. Russell Wilson's fear of clownies is realized when one adorned in a face mask senselessly attacks.
See, this is it, Emma.
That was great.
This is it.
That was great.
Is that your new favorite, Money?
Both of these. Both of
really?
These. Yes, she is. She is humming right now.
By the way,
has a high regard for these two. If those are your two best ever, then you're really.
Have you guys seen
this? Is
it?
Great.
No.
Tremendous.
We talked earlier.
Great horror movie.
Scary movie.
He doesn't like.
Loved it. I love horror movies. Great movie.
I mean, see. That does not surprise me for Fabiano, because Fabiano goes through life with this sort of sunny disposition, you know? So he needs – actually, Spaghetti.
He needs some darkness in his life?
Yeah, Spaghetti or somebody – or was it you, MVP? Who was it who advanced the notion that people who have a sunny disposition need a little darkness infused?
I think it was me, because Sully is so positive
all
the
time. That's what it was. Sully is a – yes. Yeah, the MVP. I like how she – you know, sort of passively, she's always modest. Like, I believe it was me who said that. Spaghetti does not get the credit here. Yeah, I believe it was me. You're right. Sully is, he, like you, has a sunny disposition. He needs the infusion of darkness. I don't like it.
Unless I'm talking about crappy decisions made by our bum manager in the playoffs, then my disposition isn't so sunny.
I was not having a sunny disposition in that game, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Fabs and I were talking about it. If Stump Merrill was still managing
Stump
the Yanks,
Merrill,
he would have made the right choices.
I love that. I love the Stump Merrill reference. That's great. Do you have any idea who Stump Merrill is?
I mean, I definitely kind of know what's going on in this, but they're just going off on this historical Yankees rant at Eddie Spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
It's been going on for several weeks now. It's actually pretty amazing.
I thought you were saying annoying.
No,
it's
no,
okay.
No,
it works both ways.
I really
amazing
like it.
And annoying.
I like it.
I got to say, I want to go on record. I've said this before. I want to go on record again. I think that Money's behavior towards his colleagues lately on this show, and it bears my name, so I do have to accept some responsibility, has been out of bounds, to say the least.
Have you watched NFL Fantasy Live? Every episode I get pooped on.
Yeah, I know.
Every episode.
Big shot,
like
big shot money. I don't know. Like,
it's all,
I'm going to watch what I do now.
Me.
I'm going to hurt people's feelings.
Fine.
I like to make fun of people and the way they talk
I'm
and everything.
Following
because
your
I'm
lead.
A,
you open the door, I walk through.
You know what? That's what I don't see is how money does that. He doesn't take personal responsibility. And that's something that you're going to have
right
to deal
that.
With yourself.
You're absolutely right about that.
All right, here we go. Texans, Seahawks, money.
Oh, beautiful.
Choose.
Come on, Seahawks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got to do it. Yep. I would like to take the Texans. Is there, Cindy, do you, let's take a look at the Texans the rest of the way here. Is their season over in some serious jeopardy, or do you think they still take the South and don't look back? Because, you know, obviously they don't have a guy who you could claim to be one of the biggest Jenga pieces in all of pro football in J.J. Watt, not to mention Whitney Merciless, not to mention Brian Cushing, even though I just mentioned both of those guys. Go ahead, Cindy.
Not to mention. Well, look at who they're playing. So this week, Seattle, that's a really tough matchup. Next game, Colts. That's a winnable game. Then we got Rams, Cardinals. Cardinals is winnable. You know, Rams could be winnable. Like Ravens, Titans, Niners, Jags, Steelers, Colts. So we got Colts twice left, which
it's a good schedule.
It's
close,
right? So it's not
the rest
like,
of the teams. I mean, it's who would have thought, right? It's a Jags Texans showdown.
I think it's. I think it is.
I agree.
I think it's legit.
I think circle the calendar December 17th. The Jags and the Texans.
Isn't that great? It's a nice late season showdown too.
We
it's
got
great.
The Steelers late too, but like you know. That'll be week 16, I believe.
Well, I mean, this is one of those divisions that's going to be won by 9 games. It's probably a single-digit division champ this time. I've come around on the Jags. I think they are going to end up winning it. This is one of those defenses. It's starting to get to a place that is a little bit like the 2015 Broncos or any of those teams that you can just so thoroughly dominate you defensively that it doesn't matter as long as Blake Bortles is not throwing disastrous picks. I think this team should survive because
have you seen that Jaguars schedule, by the way? So they have their bye this week, right? Mm-hmm. Then they get you know, a couple tough ones, Bengals and Chargers. But then Browns, Cardinals, Colts, Seahawks, Texans, and they close 49ers, Titans.
Yikes.
You got to love that if you've got Leonard Fournette
right?
on your
fantasy. I mean, it really lays out nicely.
Mm-hmm. Fabs, you know who has Leonard Fournette on his fantasy team?
I got him in a couple leagues too, pal.
People don't care who's on your fantasy team.
Oh, well.
Oh, how dare you, Cindy? I have the shot. Now I might have to read my entire fantasy
roster.
And tell everyone to tune out.
You know what? I pat myself on the back when it's appropriate and sometimes when it's not. I said Deshaun Watson was going to have a big rookie season.
You did.
He's having a big rookie season.
That's the guy I want to draft. I would take him number one overall.
People with that, Deshaun Watson, don't get crazy in fantasy. He's a rookie. How many times do you have to see rookies?
Dak Prescott last season.
The extra dimension of being able to run it into the end zone is a major factor in fantasy. Why this thing about I think you're getting a little aggressive there. He's on all my fantasy.
Let's look back at like the last decade or so of the rookie quarterbacks who've made an immediate impact. What do they all have in common? Robert Griffin III, run with the football. Cam Newton, run with the football. Russell Wilson, run with the football. Dak Prescott, run with the football. Vince Young, run with the football.
Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston.
That's
these guys
huge.
Who run it into the end zone in their rookie seasons are worthy of your fans. Anywho, I think, you know, the Seahawks, I say I am not buying the nonsense. I didn't buy it last year. I'm not buying it this year. The Seahawks defense, the Cliff Avery thing is bad, but
Michael Bennett, Bobby Wagner, Legion of Doom, level of the defense is
dominant. Points allowed per game since
2009. This is what they do. They round into shape. Right around now is when they're going to start to ascend.
Richard Sherman is sub-50 passer rating allowed.
Yeah. They have enough on offense. Cable get that offensive line to a sufficient level.
Or Russell Wilson will just keep rushing the ball.
Or do we think that the Rams are going to win that division? I don't know. I don't think that the Rams are going.
Here's what I think is the most interesting
I think they get to the playoffs, though.
The Rams? The most interesting storyline in this, and it plays into what you were saying about the rookie in the fantasy world, right? We keep saying, I think a lot of other people, all right, when are we going to see Deshaun Watson, the rookie? You know, because rookies in the NFL do not dominate the league at the quarterback position. They just don't. They are, you know, Russell Wilson struggled for like six, 7 weeks. Dak Prescott was
said something in my throat there.
I don't think that Deshaun Watson has a
Connecticut's own
offensively.
Fabiano, a resident Cowboys fan. Sorry.
Central Connecticut State.
That's right.
So the thing about Deshaun is, I don't know if it applies to him because he's not like any other rookie quarterback where you're talking about back-to-back national championship games against Alabama in front of 90,000 people freaking out. And in both of those games, he was fantastic. The loss
and, by the way,
the win.
For
so
what it's
I don't
worth,
know if he has something that other players don't, and it just doesn't affect him like it does other quarterbacks.
Well, and for what it's worth, too, practically, it's not just that it was the big, bad Bama number one team in the country. It was also Alabama's defense. That's who he was playing against.
Seven guys drafted in the first two rounds of the NFL draft.
Intimidated by a high-grade defense, he will not be. Are you leaving, Cindy?
Just for one second. I have to get water.
Here, I got one for you. Or the 12s. Not to mention, you know, is he going to be affected by the noise, you know, the loudest and perhaps most intimidating home field advantage in all of the NFL? I mean, I've called a game there.
It's awesome.
It is inordinately loud. It is different than any other stadium, the way that sound reflects back on.
I get that the Patriots' defense isn't good this year, but he went into Foxborough and
played
extremely well. And typically, when a rookie quarterback goes into Foxborough to play Bill Belichick and the Patriots, the numbers are terrible.
Yeah, but terrible. What people will say to you is that D coordinators, the more they get to look at him, the more they'll figure out what he's trying to do, and they'll take that away from him, and in the short term he'll have a stumble. This could be it. It would be interesting to see if this is the week where
it could be true that they lose and he doesn't stumble.
Right.
Like I have them scoring 21 points.
I'm just saying that's what on in my head. I think that's what happens. Just we see the rookie game.
You do have Bill O'Brien with an extra week and a little extra time to game plan and see, you know, those first 20 scripted plays, I think you'll see good Deshaun Watson because they get a chance to kind of formulaically pick that defense.
Well, and here's the other thing too, by the way. I'm going to stay with the Seahawks, and I have that one 22-17 home team. But I think that I'm waiting for the full breakout. And Deshaun Watson has been dynamite, but Dwayne Brown now. I mean,
is back.
Think about
sort of.
We think.
Well, right. So when long term, but at least for this game, I'm waiting for the real big blow up because this Texans team's been predicated for what 5 years on dominating on defense and mixing in Arian Foster and taking games that way. Now all of a sudden, I mean, they are so loaded on offense, and that's without the thing that we college football fans, oh, Braxton Miller's, oh, what a crazy piece this is going to end up being. That hasn't happened. But meanwhile, you have Will Fuller, yep. And you have New Hopkins and Lamar
CJ
Miller.
Fedorowicz back this week potentially.
Yeah,
too.
Fedorowicz is close to coming.
I mean, yikes! They should be a dominant offensive team if they can get that thing rolling. Now let's move on though.
Let's
to
move
Fabiano's
on.
Team, the Dallas Cowboys, who agree, and I see other people are picking up on this now too, here in the calendar year 2017, with all due respect to the Cowboys, America's team is the Philadelphia Eagles.
It
thanks
is.
To Chris Long, no, Torrey Smith, Malcolm Jenkins.
And mostly Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Well, that's Wensylvania. Yeah.
Let's
get Wensylvania. So, let's have
you
the whole
see that feature on Carson Wentz last week? I mean, sobbing. I was sobbing. It
was
awesome.
Oh, I didn't see
you that. Especially since, yeah. I mean, you'll love it too.
It is
about
one of the best pieces you've
just,
seen.
Oh, and Carson Wentz is so genuine in his, like, response to this amazing family and the kid, you know, unfortunately didn't end well and the kid was, like, buried in his jersey and you just see, like, this super genuine human being, like, sitting there, like just can't – oh. You can't not like Carson Wentz. You don't have a heart.
I always say
like Carson
that. Anybody who goes
that.
And sees goes and deals with
Tom Rinaldi children. Makes you cry every time.
Oh my God! It's just it's something.
You know what?
Anyway.
Oh, that you just real quick. You go back to the draft when there were these debates about Goff or Wentz, and again, it's purely anecdotal. But you know, when we do the draft broadcast, we sit on the field, we talk to all these guys, and we had Goff in one group sit down with us and talk with us, and we had Wentz in the other group sit down and talk with us. It wasn't even close. Like, just personality-wise, it reminded me of when we had Russell Wilson sit with us compared to all the other quarterbacks that were being drafted and just how much different a personality he was. And you just, you know, you almost just start to swoon. You're like, oh, yeah, keep talking, Carson. I'm enjoying. He has that type of personality, which is so important at the quarterback position.
And you forget that the Seahawks had signed Matt Flynn that year and he was supposed to be the guy. And then Wilson came in, took that job, and
took over. Yeah, just everybody rallied around. Even a bigger deal than that, truly, is what happened in Wisconsin, a team that was built to contend for the Big Ten championship that year. And here comes a graduate transfer, shows up. There are so many established players on that team, and they immediately elect Russell Wilson a captain 1 week after he shows up on campus.
It's funny, Money, you talk about Wentz, though, and patting myself on the back once again. I told you Wentz, not Goff.
Oh, yeah.
When it was – I said it in December and kept on going.
But it looks
I
like
watched
both.
Wentz. People forgot about Wentz because he was injured for a full year, and then it was wonky in his senior year. How many games did he play in his
like
senior
eight.
Year?
Wentz?
When they played in his –
And he was playing in North Dakota State. Everyone was like, eh.
No. Go back and dig up my tweets. I will. You can see.
No, almost everybody that we talk to.
I have a far better life than to go 3-year-old tweet.
Oh, look at that. Good shot. Oh, almost all.
All right, but you can't say nobody because Damashek is not nobody.
I am
a nobody, but I'm not physically. I exist.
Told you to wash some
clothes. He just Matthew Berry.
almost every scout, I think there were two teams that had Goff over Wentz. I'm not kidding. I think it was the Browns and the Rams, and that was it.
Saying once he kind of became into the draft spotlight, but I mean his senior year, like I know they did game day out there in North Carolina. Like people knew who he was, but it was kind of one of those things where you're like, oh, like this smaller school, this kid, he rushes for 1,000 yards. Like he plays such a difference. Like most people like really liked him once the draft process started, but this time 2 years ago.
But remember, they had three games that he played in against, you know, Power 5 conference teams. Iowa State, I believe, was one where he lit it up. I mean, the level of competition when it raised. Anyway, we've gotten off track.
I scold everyone.
It's easy to talk about Carson Wentz.
It is really one of the weirdest phenomenons of the 21st century, how somebody becomes this prototype for all who follow him. Since Michael Jordan was in his third season – oh, this Harold Miner's the next Michael Jordan. And
Jerry Stackhouse, Kobe Bryant.
Richard Jefferson. Everybody's the next
guard.
Kobe.
Harold Miner?
Yeah. I mean, the next MJ,
yeah.
Right.
Baby Jordan.
All of those. Ben Roethlisberger is that guy in the 21st century. Oh, this guy's the next one. And I've said that at least two or three times about guys. I still say Jameis Winston is his best pigskin doppelganger in terms of skill sets and the way they play the game. But Carson Wentz, I also said about Carson Wentz, he's also that. Because when you watch him, it's the same thing as watching Roethlisberger at Miami of Ohio. Lesser competition, perhaps. But when you watch him move around and the figure he cuts out there, like, oh, yeah, that's a pro quarterback right there.
I'm not saying that we didn't know who he was, like, once the draft kind of the spotlight was put on. But I'm like, no one was – like, there's no, like, Darnold pressure. You know what I mean? For, he was
I
no
see.
Darnold
I see
pressure
what you're getting
him.
At.
Like,
I
they didn't have it, like, starting from week one being like, hey, this – you know, North Dakota State, it's the Heisman's his to lose. The first-round draft pick is his to – you know what I mean? That kind of thing. Like, he – we knew who he was, but it was never that
– I will credit our colleague Daniel Jeremiah, who was the first to alert me to Carson Wentz, and it was during the season.
Absolutely.
It was before the college football season was over. He was the one that was
Absolutely.
Saying, hey, man, there's this kid at North Dakota State that I'm telling you, he's going to end up being the one that you start hearing about. And it's easy to see why, you know,
yeah.
I mean, we're seeing it with Allen right now at Wyoming, right? You know, it doesn't matter the level of competition if you cut that figure, like you said.
Look at Steve McNair. I mean, Alcorn State.
Yeah.
And he came in and was a co-MVP.
I'll say this, though.
Took a team to a Super Bowl.
What you were talking about, it's an interesting thing. You know how you always, when we were growing up, it was always be yourself. That's what people want to see. Be yourself. I feel like I was watching Monday Night Football and thinking, this guy's, you know, he's kind of like got a corny look to him, if nothing else. He's got reddish hair. He looks like he's 15 years old, skinny kid and everything. And he's out there with all these grown men trying to hurt him out there and everything. And there's something that permeates through the television screen that, like, this guy is the genuine article. The way he comports himself, that's who he is, and it's winsome. You know, if you're being yourself – that's a good little tip to all the kids out there. That's what I would be. Don't try to be what people want you to be.
You know what else is a good tip, by
play,
the way?
Play the NBC do-do-do-do,
the more you know.
The more you know.
That's what Dave Damish. Hey, everybody. Dave Damish. But I was thinking that very thing about Carson Wentz. Like, there's something about him that is imminently likable, and it's owed to the fact that he is not putting anything on. That's who he is, it seems.
I think the other thing to take away as well is that is important to remember about Carson is that this is, I'm sure there's a better way to phrase it, but whatever. They come at me for it. It's a man's game. You know, this game of football is a man's game. It is a physical game. And as you get older as a man, you grow stronger. You get what is known as dad strength. Carson Wentz is going to be 25
dad strength
in December.
I never got dad strength.
He is older than Jameis Winston, than Marcus Mariota, guys that came into the league the year before him. You know, so it's important to remember that while he is just in his second year, this is an older guy who is kind of developing those older muscles and that older frame that only come with age. And I think that speaks to some of these guys that come out early, like Jared Goff, who is, I think, just going to turn 23 this year. I mean, he's like a full 2 years younger than Carson. And I just think there's such a big difference in this particular sport, not basketball or baseball maybe as much, but in the sport of football. That is such a big advantage. Like you said, when you have these giants coming after you and he's able to deflect them and shake them off and extend plays and keep himself healthy. You know, I think that's a big part of it as well.
You know, I feel like I've been patting myself on the back a lot lately. I guess I've been right a lot lately. I told you the Philadelphia Eagles would be the team to emerge in the NFC East, so they have at 6-1. The Dallas Cowboys and Washington Redskins are looking up at them both, are looking up at Carson Wentz and company. Tell us more about this game, MVP.
All right, we have an airing of Dawn of the Dez. Mm. Cousins realizes his line's been tapped when all he can hear is the sound of heavy breathing from a linebacker who clearly has his number. Proud of making the Washington secondary disappear, Dez throws up the X, his calling card, so the rest of the corners know they just might be next. P. Ryan and Thompson mutate into a dangerous two-headed monster when the clock strikes 4:15.
That's brilliant.
Strikes quarter.
You got a two-headed monster. I mean, a term referring to a two-headed rushing attack in the NFL. I mean, God, Emma.
Thanks, Money.
Well done, Emma.
Too good.
Here we go. Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins, Fabiano, a big one for both teams in week 8.
Come on.
Jeez.
I mean, don't you dare.
Here it comes.
The Cowboys have won 4 straight games in Washington, 5 of 6.
But?
And they will make it 6 of 7.
Bang.
How dare you?
Damn. thought maybe you were going to go reverse jinx because you're such a fan.
No, I will not ever go against my team. The Cowboys are coming off of a great performance against the Niners.
Yeah.
Confidence is back. And that offense, that offense.
Wait, they beat the 49ers. They
is, well,
you have to portray mine.
If you look at what we had done the previous couple of weeks. Uh-oh.
I know. I'm sorry.
You know, so you're off. So you're on the Cowboys train or you're off the Skins train or you're just picking one game here?
Picking one game.
Okay, because I do think whoever loses this game.
I agree with you on that.
Assuming the Eagles beat the 49ers, which they
will
should.
Likely happen.
Right. Playing in Philadelphia. That team's going to be in some jeopardy. I mean, they're going to have a very long shot at coming back to take the division title. Then they're fighting for a wild card here. I think Kirk Cousins gets it right against a mediocre to poor defense. No, and
Washington's defense didn't look so good against Wentz last week.
True, and I think it's all based around Zeke. Clearly, at this point, they wish to establish him and ride him for four quarters here. Mix in a little Dez. I don't think that's enough against the Skins' underrated defense. Money.
The big one is Brandon Scherff. You know, he's one of the best interior linemen in the NFL, and the fact he took that hit and he's got the MCL injury. The majority, because they have not had. Crowder has not been good. You know, obviously Pryor is a complete
waste. Yeah, it's weird. Bust.
They're
totally
trying to
bust.
Get Doxson. Now, Jeremy, you know, they finally had, you know, Jordan Reed show up last week, and he is their best receiver. But their leading receiver is Chris Thompson. They use that screen game so much, and the biggest part of that screen game is not just Thompson, but Scherff. He's the pulling guard. He's the guy that's getting out in front and helping those screens become successful. He's a really good lineman, and they're going to miss the heck out of him if he can't go. I know that's still kind of up in the air. It looks like it's probably not going to happen. So that's just kind of the one thing that pushed me over the top. And as Fab said, that Dallas offense has been so good.
I think money, you're right about the Chris Thompson factor. That's why I say they have to do something. It's becoming a national narrative that Kirk Cousins and Jameis Winston and Terrell Pryor have not made beautiful music this season.
It's amazing that
I think they get it right this week against that team, though.
Cousins is putting
Terrell
up such
Pryor
great
two
numbers.
Touchdowns.
He's putting up such great numbers, and his wide receivers have done literally nothing.
I would say, and I'm not being facetious here, Terrell Pryor has a better chance of being inactive than catching two touchdowns.
Ooh.
I think that has become so volatile a situation there. It is clear that he's doing something that Kirk Cousins doesn't like him, Jay Gruden doesn't like him. I mean, when you don't put a guy out there till the late third quarter on a nationally televised game, and then the play you decide to run for his one snap is a rush away from him, essentially saying, yeah, go on out there. We're just going to run away from you. Something bad's happening.
That one-year contract is working out great. We'll have to have that discussion at a later date, too, is taking our guesses here and now about where Kirk Cousins is in 2018. Actually, let's do it now. You're convinced it's the Niners.
You know what? I was until I heard that Kyle Shanahan may be enamored, very enamored, with a college quarterback. So
Spill! Don't play games.
I've heard that he has grown very fond of a particular quarterback.
Doesn't narrow it down.
Oh, it kind of narrows it down. I'm sure. You know who he would love? I have no doubt that right up his alley is one Josh Rosen.
Mm.
Is that right?
Interesting selection.
I can guess, and you can say, yes, you're right. What's that mean? That doesn't mean anything. You're not betraying anything.
I'm not betraying anything. I don't want to – I have not double-sourced it yet. Until I double-source it, I don't want to –
What a creep. It's Josh Rosen. I'm sure that's who it is. All right. Last game.
So where does he end up then? If it's not going to be San Francisco, if in fact Kyle Shanahan's enamored with Josh Rosen, where does Kirk
– How does Washington let him go?
Right. That's my big question.
How do they let him go? The Redskins. You know how hard it is to find a quarterback like that?
I don't know.
It is a great head scratcher as to how it's gotten to this point already.
Right.
And I think it's just inept front office and ownership management, right? I mean, that's the only thing that can excuse how they have found themselves in this position. That they just made a bad decision and then they compounded that bad decision by sort of like digging in and said, franchise, we already gave him $25 million. We're not going to give him another $40 million. Well, yeah, that's the way this thing works.
Right.
You know, that's the way these quarterback contracts work. You don't get to make your own rules because you screwed it up two times 2 years ago.
Well, here's some fun. I mean, just think about the teams that need the QB
around.
And who's going to be up there. The Cleveland Browns, if they could get him – plus a high-end performer. What if they, you know, what if they could get Saquon Barkley and Kirk Cousins before between right. now?
Don't
and
have
started.
To use your high draft pick on a young quarterback that you got to deal with for.
What
the
about
next
Jacksonville?
Two, 3 years.
I mean, the teams like that. Right. I mean, don't you all of a sudden swoon if you said like, yeah, we're going to put Kirk Cousins in there instead of Blake Bortles?
Oh my gosh.
You'd be like, oh, that team's going to the Super Bowl is what we would yeah. start saying.
How about all Denver? Right.
Ooh, it's a nice one.
Right?
All right. Yeah, well, all right. We'll make our proper guesses at a later date. All right, let's get to it. Let's bring it on home. MVP. Ooh, I thought we were going to Monday night. Instead, we're going to Sunday night. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Detroit Lions. Tell us more, MVP.
So we have an airing of 28 Days Prater. Serial tackler known as the Shirtless Slazier is on the loose in Detroit with no intentions of leaving until he catches the gunslinger with his bare hands. With some bad juju and killer bees in the air, Ziggy Ansah makes sure to keep his head on a swivel, though he takes it too literally and things get freaky fast. Prater feels he will be eaten alive by angry fans after butchering a 30-yarder.
Very nice. See MVP.
See that? Slazier.
I love it.
We talked so to Shazier, and I did encourage him last year, and I reminded him of this again. Wouldn't it be great? He loves to do that shirtless bit, and Halloween's the perfect time to do it. I say go next level. One quarter shirtless.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the Lions would be out there like, what? Like Stafford, he wouldn't be able to make any adjustments at the line. He just would be looking at the crowd like, he's not wearing a shirt. That's too intimidating for me, right? He'd be thrown out of
the game.
Whack. Yeah.
Shazier would be thrown out of the game.
No. Stafford would be thrown out of his own head. He wouldn't know what to do.
Really?
I believe you have to wear a numbers.
He'll get fined after the game, but he'll also be a legend for all
now,
of time.
What if he were to take shoe polish and just, you know, put his number there, like white shoe polish on his chest, so you can mm-hmm. say, hey, here's the number.
Now okay? we're cooking with gas.
We're good.
There you go.
We're good. Here I am. All right? Right here. Bang.
I mean, that's how you say I'm the toughest guy in the joint, you know?
Now, he could just wear the old school 80s and tuck it in under the pads there, you know, and just let the abs come out. I mean, roll that style. Now, I know it wouldn't be completely bare-chested.
Damashek likes to do that up in Studio City.
Yeah.
Yeah, he walks around.
No. I go nude bottom half. That's
oh, how is that? Okay.
That's my Donald Duck it.
I like to, yeah, Winnie the Pooh. Okay. Yeah, that's my way. All right, Matt Money Smith, Steelers, Lions, choose.
Let me tell you something.
Uh-oh.
All right, before you
Uh-oh.
Get into your analysis of this game.
I have no analysis.
Okay? Oh, no. But listen, we're going to talk about why the Steelers are going to win this game. I'm taking the Steelers. Anybody want to throw it? Steelers?
I can't do it.
All right, watch this.
I'd like to.
You have no idea the great dismay that came over me when I looked through the Steelers schedule. And I saw what lays ahead for the rest of the season.
What if they get by the Lions up in Detroit this week, they can really go on a run that extends into December, right?
I am trying to figure out how they can get to four losses. And I'm like, if this guy here ends up pulling this one out, there is something there.
Do you know, Money?
It's a
little known fact. No one wants to give me my parade, but I, 5 straight years in August, have told you what the Steelers' final record's going to be and hit it. And now in 2017, Damashek went bold. He went 13-3.
Tried to
losses.
Talk you out of it.
Oh, Money laughed. Oh, how he laughed when the Bears defeated them in Chicago. And then the laughter doubled when the Jags embarrassed Roethlisberger and company.
We offered you a freebie, and you said, do you want a mulligan?
Would you like a mulligan to undo your pick there? And
I said, no, I don't need it, Money.
If they get past the line,
mulligans are for cowards.
Colts, Titans, Packers with Brett Hundley,
yep.
Bengals, Ravens, and then it's the back-to-back of the Patriots and Texans that they got.
Got a split.
Yes, if they get a split there, if they beat the Lions this week, they close with the Browns. Like, it is remarkable.
You never know with those divisional games. Though.
I know,
you
but
never
it's
know.
Just the way it lays out.
Let's
I thought,
see.
I
Let's
thought
see
he
if
was
it happens.
Dead to rights 2 weeks ago. I was like, you're a fool. You and your fancy foosball pick's going to come back to bite you, you dummy.
Let me tell you something.
How did that happen?
Let me tell you something. As we keep talking about, and we've been talking about this
Five
all season
years.
Long, yes, it's fun. Roethlisberger, Bell, Brown, even if Roethlisberger isn't at peak performance, although the best thing he did against the Bengals is he came nowhere close to getting picked. He didn't make really any atrocious decisions out there. And if you can limit that as Roethlisberger with the pieces they have out there, the other side of it, it's very much like the Jags. The defense isn't perhaps as good as the Jags, but then again, the Steelers' offense is far superior.
But you're not worried about the Steelers playing down to the competition on the road?
Yes, which I am. Of course, that's the bugaboo as always. But the thing is, that defense is
It's so good.
It's the best pass defense, and the Lions can't run the ball.
Yep.
There you go. Greg Robinson is their left tackle. I want to say that again. Greg Robinson is the left tackle of – do you know why the Rams are good this year? Because Greg Robinson isn't their left tackle anymore.
Yeah, talked about the fact that he's one of the two or three biggest busts of the decade.
So you're in a league right now that is heavy quarterbacks, right? I mean, the passing game is just ridiculous. Numbers have been phenomenal. The Steelers are not even giving up 10 fantasy points a game to that position.
Really?
They're giving up 9.7 points per game to quarterbacks this year.
That's some stat.
How about that?
I mean, that if that doesn't show you that defense damn good, I don't know what will.
I mean, there are not a lot of places that you look on that defense and say, well, that circle that guy. That's a weakness that they have got. I mean,
curse the day, you and your 13-3.
Well, let's see. Now you're trying to curse.
I am not trying to do that. I looked at it today before we came in because I saw we were picking Pitt at Detroit. I'm like, man, I think they're going to win that game. You know, I don't make it 3 in a row. I wonder what the rest of their schedule looks
to
like.
To say that I haven't noticed the same thing would be a lie.
Yeah.
And that's not my way. I don't jive anybody. All right, listen, good times as always. Boy, this Thursday show, MVP, is really emerging as a consistent gem. Do you agree?
I do agree. It's been a lot of fun.
And do you want to say that that's thanks in no small part to my efforts, Dave? You can say that, MVP, if you want.
Yes.
Say that.
Nope. Yes, I agree with whatever you just said.
I want to hear you self-praise. It wouldn't kill you to praise yourself a little bit.
Praise myself?
Yes.
No, you know, it's all you guys.
Say, I make the DDFP way. I'm the straw. Say that, MVP. I'm the straw that stirs the drink.
Nope.
Right. I will say, those write-ups.
They're amazing.
Thank
brilliant.
Yeah. Thanks,
brilliant.
It.
Well
Very
done.
Good. Michael Fabiano, you're good too, doing great work. NFL Fantasy Live, the podcast, the TV show, the pages on NFL.com. Keep it up, fella, and don't take no guff from nobody.
Oh, you know I don't do that.
I know you don't.
Do a very Damashek-like I mean, I know you do the fruit and you do the meat and you do – I mean, you're not going to do the Halloween candy of choice?
Yeah, I
mean – Halloween, or are you going to do that on Tuesday, on Halloween day?
You know what? Let's save that for the Shecky Award.
All
right. We'll do the best.
Best Halloween.
We'll do that on Tuesday, only because we're –
I'm not talking about best candy in general. I'm talking about the candy you want dropped into your bag more than any other candy. I think it's a different conversation.
It's not candy corn, that's for sure.
I don't know if I'll be able to conjure my answer in time, but let's have to see.
Let's put it on the shelf there, huh?
There's Green Apple, Jolly Ranchers. There's Nerds. There's Special K. I like those dark ones. And I like also to get
I think
get
Special K is a drug egg.
Oh, you know what I like? Is that right?
I think that's where
Or a cereal.
Special Dark. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Oh.
I like the bullseyes, the caramels with the white in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Those are good. Okay, caramel creams.
Yep.
Yeah.
Caramel creams. I once got a jumbo bag that included the bullseyes, mm-hmm. the caramel creams, Tootsie Rolls, mm-hmm. and Bit of Honeys.
Bit of Honeys
imagine?
Are so underrated.
Can you imagine how good that candy was?
Yeah.
I mean, the Bit of Honeys, I mean, it didn't matter what.
Trying to play
when you put
out.
Your, like, if
Sorry,
I put,
Emma.
If I go in for some Skittles and what comes out, I may not eat it. Like, oh, it's the green one? No, thank you. That goes
By
away.
The way, when you say Bit of Honey, you know what I think? Mary Jane. That's a good one, too. Also
Ooh.
Underrated.
Mo Damashek will tell you that the Mary Jane is superior.
I believe it. I'm with Mo. I believe it.
Let's leave it there, then. Yeah. We'll talk to you after
Winner.
We date everybody. It's been a thin slice of heaven.